So, I just returned from this weekend, and the title was Impassioned Emunah. And I think Impassioned Emunah really is Bitochen, because the impassioned part is the Emunah with feeling. And the feeling really is in the heart. And basically, it's taking the Emunah, the things that I know to be true. I have knowledge, you know, I know there's a creator. I know the creator created the world for the purpose of chesed. I know this world does not do anything for him. I know that he's all about chesed and rachamim. I know he's all powerful, controls everything. And I know that he cares and loves us and so forth. But to translate those intellectual realizations into this emotional sense of relying on him, and relying has many meanings and many levels, and we'll try to explore that, is an effort. And it's maybe it's a lifelong effort. It takes time. There is no, or at least I have not yet discovered, the Bitochen button, you know, or the Bitochen gene for that matter, where you just, you know, you got it, or you take an injection or something, and now I got it. There's no pill, there's no button, there's nothing. It's work. It's work. It's taking the intellectual realizations that we know about Hashem in the full aspect of it, of his, basically it amounts to his power in general, his all-powerfulness and his kindness, and with those intellectual recognitions, attempting to place that so deeply and firmly in my emotion that I rely on him and I have no worries. I have menuchas hanefesh. I'm in a life of, I'm anxiety-free. In fact, the Rashi's definition of the Shavtem Lovetach we've mentioned here is Sheloi Tidagu. There's no worry. There's no anxiety because it's, in a sense, it's his problem. As the Pasuk says, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, take your pekel with tzoris. Yehovcha means a maso, a pekel, and throw it on Hashem and he'll take care of it, he'll sustain you. So that's the goal. That's the coveted goal of Bitochen, and the question is, how do you get there? So one of the big problems in achieving any goal is, let's call it mistaken identity. No, that's not the right word. But mistaken realizations. In other words, I think I'm there before I am. I'm not being realistic about it. I'm shooting too high, too fast. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, and it's very easy to fool ourselves that, oh, yeah, I got Bitochen, sure. You know, the Chazon Ish has this beautiful moshel about Bitochen. He says this person has a business, and he's very successful in his business, and he's so trusting Hashem and thanking Hashem for his success, and he knows everything comes from Hashem, and I'm so grateful, I'm so reliant on him to help me, and everything is wonderful. All of a sudden, a competitor moves in right across the street. He's oismensch. He's pulling the hair out of his head. He doesn't know what to do with himself. I don't understand. What are you talking about? It's all up to Hashem. He's in control. You realize that. When there was no competitor there, you realized it very well. Now all of a sudden, he's a nervous wreck. The Chazon Ish, I think, refers to that as he was singing the song of Bitochen, but it wasn't real. It's a song, it was words, it was lip service. So we want to make it real. How do we go about doing that? So I think maybe there's a confusion that we have to dispel before we even begin the process. And I would say that confusion is, and I have here outlined a few steps, that confusion is that the first step and the last step seem very, very similar. But one is five steps beyond the other. And if we don't know that distinction, we can be very confused. And what is the confusion? So let's start with that. I would say that the first step to Bitochen is really just a full internalization of the basics of Emunah, that there's no accidents in this world. Hashem controls everything. Hashem controls everything. And since Hashem controls everything, and everything Hashem does is for the good, nothing to worry about, right? Nothing to worry about. Hashem controls everything. Everything He does is for the good. So, fine. Now, whether or not that brings full menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind or not, we'll examine in a moment. But there's a problem. Because the highest level of bitochen is one that no matter what Hashem does to me, I'm happy. Chesed u'mishpat o'shiro, as David HaMelech said, when he gets chesed, he praises Hashem. And when he gets mishpat, when he gets punishment or justice that's not so pleasant, he also praises Hashem. To David HaMelech was the same thing. Slap me or kiss me, it's all the same thing. So that sounds well. That's it. In other words, the first level is everything. Hashem controls everything, and He does everything for the good. Okay. Well, I'm already on the top because whatever happens, I know He does everything for the good. The difference between the top and the bottom is one thing, and that is the answer to the following question: are you happy with this realization? On the bottom level, I know Hashem does everything. I know everything He does is for the good. I'm not happy. I want parnosa. I want refuah. I want nachas. I want. And our list of wants is endless. So if I realize that it's all from Him, and I realize intellectually that it's all for the good, but emotionally I'm not comfortable with it because I want my good. I don't want to be machzer al apsochim, to bang on the doors and go from door to door to take nedovas. I want parnosa. That's reasonable. I can't say that if Hashem doesn't give me parnosa, I'll have to be machzor al apsochim, that I'll be just as happy. I can't say that. I could say, it's all min Hashemayim. Hashem loves me. Hashem does everything for the good. This is all for the good. But, oy, I'll say, this story that a Hungarian rabbi once told me about his father. His father was, I'm sure I mentioned it too, his father was a rov in Hungary, and somebody came to him with terrible yisurim. And he was suffering day and night. So the rabbi says to him, he says, you know, the Pasuk says, "Es Hashayoav Hashem Yochiach," the one that Hashem loves, He reprimands. So Hashem loves you. So he says, "Ich vashtei, Rebbe, I understand, but why can't He love my neighbor a little bit more? I'm not happy with this. I wish He loved my neighbor like He loves me and leave me alone. So I'm not happy." So the first level is I'm aware of it intellectually. And I know, and maybe it gives me a little bit menuchas hanefesh. It is better to know that your matzav is not an accident, but it's designed by Hashem, who loves you and cares about you and does everything for your good. So you know it's chesed, but it doesn't help me pay the bills. It doesn't take care. I know it's chesed, but it's chesed. I don't know. I need what I need. I want what I want. So it doesn't satisfy me. It makes me aware. It makes me, it reduces somewhat the anxiety. But I can't reduce it completely because I still can't pay my bills. I still don't have what I need, what I want, and so forth. So there's a big distinction. The top level, where I say chesed and mishpat o'shiro, it's all the same to me. Like the famous story that the Hasidim tell about Reb Zisha. They came to Reb Zisha and they said, that we were sent to you to tell us what it means, smecha b'yisurim, to rejoice with suffering. So they found this Reb Zisha. And he was poverty stricken, and his clothing was frayed, and he looked so sickly, and like a man who was meduka b'yisurim, his whole life must have been one big package of yisurim. And when they asked him, "What does it mean to be smecha b'yisurim?" he says, "Why did they send you to me? I never suffered a day in my life." See, that's chesed u'mishpat o'shiro. To me, it's the same thing. I suffer, I don't suffer. That's a very high level. I frankly don't think I've ever met a person who was really completely on that level, you know. Makes no difference to me if I have parnos, if I don't have parnos, if I have this, I have that. Most of us are not there. So we shouldn't make a mistake, because once you make a mistake, if you think that you're there and you're fooling yourself, it interferes with the growth process. Because, oh, yeah, I got bitochen, I know everything's from Hashem and everything's for the good and everything. Yeah, until things start going a little sour, then you fall apart. So we have to distinguish. That's the first level. First level is, I know everything is from Hashem. A mikro the phone of, I know kol mada over rachmanu l'tav of it. Everything Hashem does is for the good. But I am not necessarily happy with the way it is, because I have certain needs and desires and expectations that were not yet fulfilled.
Now, okay. Just a second. From 1 to 5, does the process follow accordingly? In other words, now I'm working to get from here.
That's right. That's
here,
right.
The or steps. The three in between.
No. We're going to go through this. There's a connection. I call it step by step. Okay, what's the next step after this realization that Hashem is in control of everything and He is Molei Chesed? Sometimes a person cannot be confident in the outcome, but he doggedly refuses to give up hope. I can't say what's going to be. I don't know the end result, but I'm not giving up hope till the very last minute. As afilu cherev chodo munach al savoro shel odom al yimna al yisya'ish. No, it's two different yisoyis. Al yimna esatz min harachim, al yisya'ish min harachim. Either way, even the sword is on the back of your neck and is ready to boom. Don't give up hope. Hashem's rachamim is infinite. Yeshua Hashem keheref ayin. Never give up hope. Now, hope does not mean any form of real surety. I can't say absolutely that I'm going to get there, but I can say I never give up hope. Now, never giving up hope is really a step away from trusting that Hashem's going to help me. Because if I never give up hope, so like at some point, like at the end, it's going to happen. Because until it happens, I'm not giving up hope. The question is, do we know for sure that not giving up hope is enough? So we find many psukim and many mamorim in Chazal that tell us that kivui itself, hope itself, and kivui has four terms. If you in Tanakh, it's used in four ways: kivui, yichul, chikui, and tzipia. So this we say mitzapim liyeshua. We say mechakim mechap. That's right. Yichul is Yachir Yisrael El Hashem and Kavi El Hashem Chazak. So all the shenas of there must be different slight nuances of difference in the Loshon HaKodesh, but basically they're all hope. Look to the future without the assurity, but stubbornly refusing to give up. I'm waiting. I'm hoping. I'm anticipating. I'm, you know, that type of a thing. Now, it does seem very clear that hoping is in itself a schus that can bring about results. Because to a person says the lashon of the Meiri, for example, the one that comes to mind first right now is Haboitech Bashem, and these are all, by the way, called languages of Bitochen. All these are all come under the rubric of Bitochen. So the Meiri's Loshen is Haboitech Bashem Ein Toicheles Sheloi Nichsevo. One who trusts in Hashem, his hoping is not going to be disappointed. So Hashem looks at hope as a lower level of Bitochen, but enough to entitle us to receive the benefits. However, hope, by definition, is not sure along the process. And sometimes people get discouraged along the way. You know, I'm hoping. How much more do you want? I'm hoping. And it doesn't help. So it's an assignment to keep going. But person, there is no reason to give up hope, because Yeshua Hashem is terrifying, like the blink of an eye. And I feel a cherev chod munach al savor sheodom al yisya'ish min arachamim, that the last moment Hashem can have rachmonis, Hashem can make anything happen. Bemela, hope is a pretty rational step in the process of bitochen.
He's not being negative.
What?
He's just looking forward and hoping.
I'm hoping. That's what it means. I'm hoping. I'm awaiting. I'm hoping. I can't. I'm not sure. When we hope, you're not sure of the result, but you hope.
Well, there's doubt then.
What?
What? Who there says doubt?
So that's a low level.
Yeah, there is no. It's a level. Not
you're hoping in Hashem,
yeah.
Not by
yeah, your yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
So that's a
form of bitochen. Now
that is a form of security, though.
Yeah, it is definitely a form of security. I hope I don't lose hope. Sure, when people are miyayish, they throw in the towel, it's all over. But I don't lose hope. However, it is difficult, because if it takes, the longer it takes, the more disillusioned we get. Because like I'm hoping, but Yoisher, when's it going to be?
That's the challenge.
You know, that's the challenge. But I'm just saying. But it's a challenge. Oh. But it's a challenge. That's the challenge. Okay, that's the next level. So there's hope. Now, the next thing is, and this is based on the Rabbi Avraham ben Rambam, The Rambam's son has a whole kuntras called Sefer HaMaspik Lo'ivdei Hashem. And he has a whole kuntras there of Bitochen. It's something that he calls Bikush. Bikush takes hope to a higher level. There is almost like a silent hope. I'm hoping. You know, I don't give up hope. I'm hoping. But Lamaisa, I'm not doing anything about it. Yeah? I'm not doing anything about it. So in a sense, it's almost like I stopped asking, but I'm still hoping. You know, the kid's bothering the parent. They want. They're bugging. At some point, they're not getting it. So they see that they I'm not doing that, but I'll still hope. I won't give up hope. Maybe after all the begging that I did, maybe they'll give in eventually. So bikush is more. In other words, not only am I there's a word I'm looking for. I can't think of the word. Not only am I inside just, you know, not giving up hope.
I'm acting on it.
But what? I'm acting on it. I'm acting on it. I'm despising.
Passive versus active?
Maybe. Passive. Maybe this is passive versus active. I'm acting. I'm asking Hashem, Rebbeinu Shalom, please. Now, the one who acts on it and who continues to ask is expressing a higher level of hope. Because it's not just, sometimes we used to call it hope against hope. You know what I mean? Like it's a faint hope that maybe someday something's going to happen, you know. Yeah. We use the Lashon Chikwe that you quoted. We're waiting. It's close to 2,000 years. We're still waiting. So, you know, after 2,000 years, it may not be the same level of hope. But I would suggest that since every Shabbos for the last 1,950 years, at least, we've been saying, from your place on high, from you, appear and let us come to recognize your malchus, because we are hoping for you. So I would say the ability to be able to continue to hope in a large measure comes from the fact that we continue to ask. Because if we would stop asking, the hope would probably fade too. But the active involvement in asking, I'm still doing something about it. It's ongoing. It's a greater statement of my confidence, because after a while I said, listen, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm not going to exert my energy. I'm not going to get up so early in the morning. I still hope it'll happen, but... So this is a much more aggressive and active type of a hope, because I'm asking and begging, beseeching Hashem. That's the next level. Now, then comes the next level, which is really a very high level. And for years, I've been faulted by many for even talking about it, because in certain places you see it's referred to almost as some kind of a Ruach HaKodesh. Something from within me announces that Hashem is not going to let me down. I just have this feeling. And it starts really, as David HaMelech said.
The order here, I mean, how do you have Bikush without Bitochen? Don't you first have to have confidence in whom you're asking from?
No. Confidence in whom? My confidence is he cares, he loves, he can. But the question is, confidence is will he?
Why is the Bikush before that? No. I'm saying.
What?
Why is the Bikush? I mean, is this a specific order, right?
I think so, yes.
So why is the Bikush before the confidence?
Because this, no. This,
I have to have confidence in the person that
No. Excuse me. I want to ask you for a donation. I didn't tell you
it's
that.
It's a bad move.
We'll see. I'm good. I'm good at that.
No, I'm saying for, I'm a good for me, salesman. And that's what, good, but what, you have to have one to give.
It'll be better for you. God will be Masha Balabayas. It'll be good.
Give something.
I came here to you to ask for a donation. Okay. Now, okay? Now, I don't have the sureness that you're going to respond. I never have. If you get the appointment, say it's 80%, it's 90%, but it's not sure. But I have hope. If I have hope, if I have no hope, I won't ask you. Without a little bit of hope, I won't ask you. And when I ask you, I actualize my hope. But I cannot wait to ask someone who I know for sure is going to give it to me. Because I'll never find such a person. So same thing over here. We do not have to know that Hashem for sure will give it to us in order to ask. We ask because we have hope. If we lose hope, we don't even ask. That's for sure, right? You don't even bother asking. If you have no hope, it's hopeless. Why am I wasting my time asking? Elabai, I have hope, but now I want to actualize it more. So I ask. I don't have to know for sure you'll respond. I just have to have the hope that you'll respond. And as the rule goes in fundraising, you have to have two things. He has to have the money and he has to be a giver. If you don't have the money and you're not a giver, then there's no point in that. I should lose hope because this guy doesn't give or this guy doesn't have. Yeah, but you have and you give. The only question is, can I convince you? That's why I'm asking you. So I hope that you will, and I have confidence that you can, and that you even have an idea to do it. Whether you'll like me and my presentation and my cause, that's a separate thing. Okay, so what do you say about the donation? Okay.
A donation?
Okay. Anyway, so now we get to this level of bitochen, which really is a very high level, and it's some form of not just hope, and not just asking, but a sense of something tells me you're not going to let me down. I just know it. I just feel it in my kishkes. You're not going to let me down. David HaMelech expressed it that it starts with a hakor of Hashem's chesed. I trust in your chesed. V'ani b'chastecho botachti. I trusted in your chesed. Not that I trust that you're going to give me. It starts by, I trust your chesed. Your chesed is endless, infinite, overwhelming, all capable with the totality of love and caring and rachmonas and so forth. Yogelibi b'shuasecho. So I think the Ebenezer that says, u'leman zeh bitochen. This bitochen leads me to rejoice in the Yeshua even before it comes. So what does that mean? It means that I have such a trust in you as the epitome of chesed that it just that's my trust, that I trust you, but I don't trust me that I deserve it. I don't trust me that you want to give it to me because maybe I'm not worthy. Okay, but you know something? What sometimes the intensity of trust in Hashem's chesed is so deep that emotionally I start feeling, you know, I can't imagine he's not going to give it to me. I just can't imagine it. Such a Baal Chesed, yeah, maybe I don't deserve it, but I just can't imagine it. It's just like, it's an emotional thing. It's not even rational. Now, it can be improved by the following. I also know that even a Rosha who puts his trust in Hashem responds. Afilu Chazal say Rabbi Machoim LaRosha. The Pesuk says Rabbi Machoim LaRosha Vabotech BaHashem Chesed Sovevenu. Greater the sufferings of the Rosha, but one who puts his trust in Hashem, Chesed will surround him. So Chazal, the Medrash says Afilu Rosha Ubatech BaHashem Chesed Sovevenu. Even if he's a Rosha, if he has trust in Hashem, he will get the Chesed. So the Pshat is like, I know that you're infinite Chesed. I know that's what you do. I have trust in your chesed. I don't know whether I'm worthy, but even if I'm not worthy, you give chesed to Rishoyim. And that whole thing, which I know it, that I trust your chesed, and I just feel, you know how much this means to me, you know how important this thing is, you know, and I'm counting on you, and I keep counting on you, and I refuse to give up hope, and that translates into a greater sense of, and I keep asking, and it translates into a greater sense, I just at this point, I can't imagine that he won't help me. Add to that also that this idea, the one idea that I think maybe he won't help me because I'm not worthy, he helps even people who are not worthy. And that catapults me into this feeling of, I just know it, I just feel it, I just in my bones, that you're not going to let me down. And that's that bitochen of trust that it's going to happen. I am confident, I am, I do know, I am not worried, there's no menuchas hanefesh, there's no doubt in my mind that it's going to happen. Now, this level is not so simple. And this level is easy to fool ourselves. And the best litmus test for this level is the famous story, which I'm sure we've mentioned here, from Rabbi Saul Salanta. When somebody came to him, he said he needs 10,000, whatever the currency was. And he says, buy a lottery ticket. Just keep having bitochen that you're going to win, and you'll be all right. You'll win. So he buys the lottery ticket and he has bitochen. I'm going to win 10,000. I'm going to win 10,000. I'm going to win 10,000. Guess it's, you could buy each week, you could win with the same ticket until it wins. And finally, 2 months, whatever, 3 months go by, he didn't win. He comes to Rabbi Yisrael. He says, you said if I have bitochen, it's going to happen. He says, do you have bitochen? Yeah, 100%. I'm sure I'm going to win. Yeah, oh, you are. will you sell me the ticket for 5,000 currency for half? Yeah, please. Who are you fooling? Who are you fooling? If you really were confident 100% that Hashem is going to give you, make you win the ticket, you'd never sell it to me for less. So it was a song, it was a game, it was a ruse, you're fooling yourself. It has to be real. And one of the there's a few tests of real, but one of the best tests of real is it really giving you peace of mind? If a person is still anxious and nervous and agitated, then it's not real bitachon. Because the Rashi says in the Chumash I mentioned, the definition of betach is shaloi tidagu, the absence of worry. If worry is there, it's the absence of bitachon. So a person, if he sees that he's worrying, so even though he says, oh, I'm 100% sure, but I'm still worried. So what are you worried about? He says, I'm not 100% sure. So that's like a test to see. And if he can't feel a total menuchas hanefesh, peace of mind, tranquility, then that's usually an indication that he's not really on this level. Now, the good news is, and this I know that we've mentioned before, but I think in this context it's very important, and that is that bitochon is not an all or nothing game. If it were, it would really, all of this would really be academic. Because for us to sit here, 3,330 years away from Har Sinai, and to say that, oh yeah, we're going to do this 100% thing, just like it was in the earlier days, and 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, you know, a little unrealistic. We're not what our great-grandfathers were, what our great-great-grandfathers were. The generations have been declining rather than growing. So the Chofetz Chaim writes as follows. And he's speaking here, he says, the bitochon works for anybody, even if he's not worthy. And he brings the Rabbi Machoiv from the Rosh, the Fido Rosh of Teich Bashem. And then he says, Ulefi goydel habitochon, kach goydel ha'atzlocha. According to the degree of the greatness of the totality of his bitochon, it's to that degree the hatzlocha that he has, which means it's not an all or nothing thing. If unless I have 100% surety, I'm 100% sure that there's no doubt in my mind and nothing can shake me, it's not going to help. No. To the degree that you have it, it's to that degree it'll help. If you have 10%, it'll help 10%. It'll help 10%. You get to 20, it'll help 20. How Hashem works this out, I don't know. But that's what the Chofetz Chaim tells us. And the Chofetz Chaim is kedai hu lismuch alav, that bitochon is not an all or nothing operation. Therefore, it's kedai to work on it, to go through the steps, step by step, because even if I don't achieve the ultimate, whatever degree that I do achieve, he'll be able to help me. And he will help me, and it's to that degree that he's going to help me. I would like to add just one thing, which I think is important. Really, the issue of bitochon, the way we described it, is emotional. I know intellectually Hashem helps, Hashem cares, Hashem loves, Hashem's all powerful, but am I deserving? Is he going to do it to me? I don't know. I have hope, and then I take the hope, and I keep asking, and I take it to the next level, and I really trust that he will do it. That's a very high level. The highest level is I trust him so much, I trust his chesed so much, that whether he does it or not, it's all the same thing to me. I'm not sure we're on that level.
So what are you asking for?
What? What?
So what would a person be asking for then?
On that level?
Yeah.
Oh, so on that level, maybe he doesn't ask. On that level, I don't know.
Oh, maybe he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what's best.
Yeah, that's right. On that level, he says, whatever it is, I'm a
kabbal. Whatever
you do for me. Melech said, Al chesed or shiro al mishpat. Either way, I'll say halal. Whether you give me a chesed or a mishpat.
There's no personal request then?
Maybe not. Maybe the personal requests have to do with other people. I don't know. But that's the level. Anyway, but there's just one thing. There is a trick. I was going to say a trick to beat the system. Can't really beat the system. It just sounds a little dramatic.
To be in the system.
What?
To be in the system.
To be in the system. To stay in the system. To survive the system. Lemaisa, if kivui, hoping, has the schus that Hashem responds to that as well, then bitochon might be able to become rational. Why? Because to have hope that we could have. to be sure he's going to give me what I want. I want a raise, $100,000 raise. That's what I want. Rabbeinu Shalom. To be sure he's going to give it to me, I can't. To hope I could. I could hope. I mean, sometimes even that's hard. But I could see hoping. Hoping is a schus that you can achieve it. So Mamela, now through my hope, I have a schus to achieve it. Now it becomes much easier to rely on Hashem. He's going to give it to me. Because I say, what do you mean, Shema Goram Achet? Well, maybe, but I have a schus that entitles me to it. If I didn't have the kivui, and if the kivui didn't have a promise of response, then I would say, I don't know. Maybe I don't deserve it. But no, you do deserve it. Because if you're mekabe el Hashem, you that level of bitochen is rewarded with a response. Now, because of that, so it's like the kivui can lead me to be able to have this further level of response, and to say, because I hoped in you, I've garnered a schus, then now I have a schus that you won't let me down. I'm trusting. Now I'm trusting. But got to be very careful there too, and maybe that's the problem with this. When you trust in your own schus, the sultan is makatrik. That's the Gemara says. The Gemara says, I think three things the Sotan's Makatrik. I forgot the exact lotion. One of them is Iyun Tfila. Iyun Tfila, Kaisel Ra'ua, putting yourself in a sakona. Iyun Tfila means that you're relying on I daven so well, I gotta get it. And the Sotan says, oh, you daven so well, you really think so? Let's see if you're worthy. When a person is relying on his tefillah, he's not supposed to rely on his tefillah, he's supposed to rely on Hashem's chesed. I davened well and now I am inspired about Hashem's chesed, I'm counting on Hashem's chesed. So when a person is relying on himself, it's a little bit difficult. In fact, that's the reason the Goyin is mashman, Avni Eliyahu, that even when a person reaches the highest level of bitochen, he should still be begging Hashem. Because if you're not begging Hashem, you'll start to think, oh, I'm on the highest level of bitochon. It's coming to me. And then you'll be relying on your own bitochon rather than on Hashem's chesed. And bitochon is a reliance on Hashem's chesed. So memele, you can't take that attitude. So the same thing over here too. If I have hope, I should not say, oh, in the schus of hope, now I can. But I should know Hashem, not my schus. Hashem, when Hashem looks at a person who has hope, it's like Hashem grants that person his desire. So keep the focus not on I have hope and therefore it's coming to me, but Hashem's system is that to the one who has hope, he grants his desires. Therefore, I can be more confident that he's going to grant my desires. So therefore, the hope can lead me to that next level of being sure that I'm going to get it, and not just overpowering emotionally, maybe I'm not deserving, but I know I qualify for something. I reached a certain level of hope, which I know in Hashem's system, in his rule book, in his the way he does things, is that he will respond to that and grant me what I want. So this is a little bit of the system. Now, I would just like to
the confidence then is not in that I'm deserving it.
Yeah, confidence
is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will deliver.
It's all about confidence. I'm trusting b'chastecho. Even I'm not trusting al tiftechu b'nedivim. It's very difficult. There's a meiri over there that says even to look at a person as a shliach is dangerous, because he's a shliach or he's a mishaleach. Is he the shliach or is he the baldover? It's a very thin line. So it says in a chochem you're allowed to look at him as a shliach, because the chochem won't let you make the mistake. What will the chochem say? The Rabbeinu Shalom is going to help you. He is going to guide you that you shouldn't make that mistake. But otherwise, the person goes, oh yeah, I'll help you. Yeah, come to my house tonight and I'll take care of you. He'll take care of me. Nobody can take care of nobody. So anyway, it's a process. It's a lifelong process. But it's extremely worthwhile for two simple reasons. Number one, the Chofetz Chaim says, to the degree that we grow in this, it's to that degree we influence our requests and our needs and our desires. The second thing is, at every level, it brings more and more peace of mind. It's true that if I'm only at a 50% bitochen, my menuchas ha-nefesh will not be complete, but it can be very strong. And as I grow more and more, and as I work on it more and more, my the level of bitochen that I have enhances my ability to achieve and expands my menuchas hanefesh, which are two of the greatest achievements that a person could achieve.